Lord God, as we hear your word and hear it again, we pray that you would reveal yourself to us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I mean, what a beautiful passage any time, but I think particularly at a baptism. The shepherd and the sheep. Now, that applies to all of us, and not everyone likes to identify that we are sheep. It has a negative connotation, doesn't it? Don't be a sheep. What does that mean generally? Well, don't just be led around by anyone, right? Don't be a sheep. Assert yourself. Assert your individuality. Don't just be one of the flock. Come on. Be unique. It's a temptation. And I think it's one we need to take seriously. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And the question I have that I pose to you today is, first of all, what does it mean to be part of the flock? This is clearly an analogy, shepherd and sheep, God and us. And where are we in this? What makes a good shepherd? Jesus says this straight up. He's the good shepherd. And then I believe he gives us really the foundation of the definition of what it means to be a good shepherd. He says, I lay down my life for the sheep. In John 3:16, John says, for God so loved that he gave. God showed his love in giving his son, Jesus Christ, to lay down his life, his very life, for the sheep. In our collect prayer for today, we said, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make us perfect in every good work to do your will. And so it's through the shed blood of Jesus, who's not only shepherd, but is the Lamb of God who gave himself to heal all the brokenness in the world. And it's into that hope that Chagozie is baptized, united with Christ in his death, in order to be united with Christ in his resurrection. This new life. We acknowledge the new life in little Chagozie. She's beautiful. She brims with new life, learning new things all the time. Up all hours of the night, I can only assume, right? New life. What a time of year. New life. So these waters of baptism speak of this new life, but they also speak of being united with Christ, the Good Shepherd, in his death, in his laying down his life. Now we learn about what it means to be a good shepherd by the contrast that Jesus makes with the hired hand, who is not the shepherd, who does not own the sheep. So we are God's possession, as a creator is in possession of the things created, right? If you make a pot, if you paint a painting, that's your possession. I guess if you're doing it as a commission, that gets a little tricky, doesn't it? But you get my point. The shepherd owns the sheep. They're not a hired hand. We learn that the hired hand doesn't really care for the sheep. Have you ever been in a job where you didn't really care what you were doing? You weren't really that committed to the work. Maybe you're in a dead-end job, minimum wage, right? You just really didn't care. Do you think that's reflected? I know it is, because I was served by someone this week who didn't care about me, about what I wanted, and I could just tell. Do you know what I'm saying? I think we all do. That's not the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd cares deeply, knows us and knows our needs, anticipates what we might need, and just waits for us to ask. I think the crux of it is in how the Good Shepherd knows the sheep. I know my own, Jesus said, and my own know me. And then he says something that is shocking. Just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father. Now, if you asked me, can we know God in the way that Jesus knows God? I would say, I think that's quite a unique relationship that Jesus has with the Father. I mean, that would be my first response. But do you see what it says here? Jesus says, I know my own sheep, my people, my followers, and my followers know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. It suggests to me that we can have a knowledge of God that is deep and intimate, like Jesus had of the Father. The Father and I are one, Jesus said. And so by the work of the Holy Spirit, we can enter into a relationship with our Creator and know God and be known by Him. Do you remember when the disciples were with Jesus and Philip said to Jesus, show us the Father and we will be satisfied? You know, it's like, that would be enough. Each of us has maybe that thing. Show me the evidence with regard to faith, and okay, that'll be enough for me. Some of us have a little wager with God. See me through this difficult time, and I'll put my trust in you. I think that's kind of what Philip was saying. Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. We'll be content. It'll be sufficient for me. It'll be enough. How many of us struggle with contentedness when every advertiser wants you to be discontent so that they can sell you the very thing that they promise will make you content? Someone just yesterday who lives in a cold climate, colder than here, was extolling the virtues of heated seats in their car. Now, if you don't have heated seats, you might think, gee, my car isn't just what it might be. If only I had heated seats. And then you get heated seats, and you hear your neighbor talk about their heated steering wheel. Well, you say, if I only would have known that I could have had a heated steering wheel as well. And you might grow discontent with your car, even with these heated seats. I mean, we're bombarded by this, are we not? The desire to upgrade. Remember when we were happy with a 10-inch TV screen? Do you remember that? Philip says, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. We will be deeply satisfied. Our heart's longing will be fulfilled. And that's my prayer for Chigozie. That's my prayer for each person who comes to baptism. That through their relationship with God, through Jesus Christ, they would experience a deep satisfaction. Jesus replied to Philip, took his question seriously. But listen to this reply. It's as shocking as what Jesus said earlier about we can know God just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. Jesus said to Philip, after being asked, show us the Father. He says, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And so there's this mystery of Father, Son, Holy Spirit coming and desiring relationship with all creation, particularly, I believe, with this humanity that he's come to redeem. He's come to redeem all of creation. It's a cosmic work, and he does it heart by heart, person by person. Perhaps today there will be something in word or deed that will trigger faith in someone. Because Jesus said, don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does the work through me. Well, you might think, well, that's kind of an interesting conversation, an interesting dialogue. I'm not sure what I think about it. And God calls us to be engaged and to commit. In our second reading, John's first letter, he said, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. Jesus laid down his life for us. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And he continues and says, we ought to lay down our lives for one another. So I believe that's the call. That's what love is. It's not just words, and so I'm going to be quiet now. Because what follows, I believe, are the actions through Holy Communion, through baptism, that speak of this good news that we have in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd who knows us, who loves us, who promises satisfaction. In Jesus' name. I direct your attention to our service bulletin.